The Blitz.
What do you think of the Jahlil Adey signing?
Kind of replaces Andre Hall.
Yeah.
Your third safety. Functional player.
Yeah. I mean, he's an older guy, but it's a guy who, I mean, to me, it's almost like he replaces kind of what they were getting out of Kareem Jackson when he was playing safety.
Yeah.
With Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I don't think he's anything special, but I think he'll contribute. To me, at this point, I'll take that.
Weekdays from 4 to 7 on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security and Vekoma had good beginnings, and they go out to the early lead at long range. Tani's close to, and there goes Bodie Express on the outside into the early mix. So they will lead the way early on. War of Will is there too as they come to the final furlong. It is Country House on the outside. Maximum Security, so dead game. He keeps battling on. Maximum Security, Country House, 1-2 down to the line. Maximum Security wins the Kentucky Derby.
Yes! They disqualified him.
They did. So for the first time in the history of the Kentucky Derby, the horse that crossed the line first has been disqualified. After the objection, Country House wins the Kentucky Derby with Flavian Pratt at 65-1.
You think he should have stayed up?
I don't know. I gotta look at it.
One of the longest shots in history to win the Derby after one of the longest waits ever after the Derby.
Well, I might have an opinion on that. And there were a few other things that happened over the weekend. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe, with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send us a message, Aaron will answer. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Let's have a fun week. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports, Fred. What's going on with you, man?
Sports and stuff, but mostly right. Sports today.
All right.
Yeah. So, I might have some opinions on that Kentucky Derby.
You cared about it.
I thought it was borderline criminal what they did. And I have a lot of reasoning for this, so bear with me.
Okay.
Because I've been watching the sport for 30 years. I've seen disqualifications that shouldn't have happened. I've seen ones that should have happened. There's never any consistency with it. And I'll go back to 2014 Breeders' Cup Classic. Horse called Bairn took out half the field, didn't get taken down. And that's because in California, they look at it a little differently than they do in Kentucky. And so
Right. Every
place is different. Every place has its own sort of set of rules. And to me, he impeded the other horse? I no question at all. But did it impact the finish of the race? I don't think it did. I think that horse was dead. He had a chance even after that to get back in the race, and he just wasn't good enough. So that's only the only horse he bothered was War of Will. Long Range Toddy was coming in at the same time, which really made it look worse. So yes, by the letter of the law, he impeded him, but it didn't impact the outcome of the race, in my opinion. And if it doesn't, you can't make that decision. And you've also got to consider that you're putting 20 horses out there. And this is very much like holding in the NFL. You could disqualify a horse every year in the Kentucky Derby because there's always traffic. There's always stuff like this.
That's what you get when you get a 20-horse field.
Right. And you have no business having that many horses out there. Nobody else does more than 14. So you put 20 out there on a track that's really slippery, by the way.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't have a dog in this hunt. Well, I kind of did, because when they took down Maximum Security, they put Tacitus up for third. I had $100 to show on him, so I wound up making some of my money back because of that, and I still think it was a horrible decision. And I think that for those guys to make that call, I feel bad for the people who own the horse. I feel bad for the people who bet on him, because a lot of people did. I didn't particularly think he was going to run that well, but you know, he was the best horse in the race and winds up finishing 17th. And a lot of people have asked me, well, what happens now? Well, the owners will probably sue to try to get the purse money. But if you bet on him, guess what? You got no recourse.
You're getting that back.
No, and that's a frustrating thing for me, and why I keep saying I'm not going to do the Triple Crown anymore. I'm really getting close to not doing horse racing anymore.
Was this the horse that you were betting against?
No, that was the one that scratched earlier in the week. I used this horse. I had him in all my plays, and the two horses I used the most were Tacitus, who wound up getting put up third, ran an okay race, and a Game Winner, who I don't know what the hell they were thinking. The strategy on him was worse than Danny's strategy last night in Game of Thrones. They drop him back to next to last. I honestly thought he had enough speed to be right up there with him. They drop him back to next to last. He goes like 12 wide on the turn, probably runs a 16th of a mile farther than every other horse, and still only got beat a few lengths. I think he was probably the best horse in the race. So I don't feel bad about my picks, because I think in both cases I was on the right horse, just got bad racing luck with one of them. But
the best horse seemed like it won.
The best horse won, yeah. Well, like I said, I would have liked to have seen Game Winner get a clean trip at him, because he totally lost the race on the turn when he's in the stands almost, and you're just like, what the hell? But as far as I don't know that he would have beaten him with a better trip, but I would have liked to have seen it. But having said that, everybody has those kind of problems in the race, and this was the best horse, and he deserved to win, and I just think it was borderline criminal.
Well, I'm way less knowledgeable about horse racing than you, but what I watched didn't look like anything that really could have been avoided. I mean, it looked like racing. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's basically what it was.
It's not like human racing where you've got a lane that you've got to stay in. You know, it's not that simple. It's not that cut and dry. And for someone to come out over the top and just be like, no, we're changing the whole thing. I mean, in that race, you talk about a race that, I mean, we're talking about a sport that's on the fringes to begin with. And now it's like the integrity of it's all called into question. That's a bad look. That's a really bad look.
Well, think about this. They're losing. They're going to lose people like me. Because I'm tired of some of the crap that goes on here. It's hard enough for the player as it is. I mean, all the rules are that, I mean, the house has every single advantage in horse racing. So, you know, when people actually pick the right horse and the right horse finishes first, they ought to get paid for it. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about anybody. And it's just, I see this stuff all the time, and it is so frustrating that there's no consistency, that everybody does it differently. And, you know, yeah, I'm still bitter over the one in 2014, because that cost me about $6,000 when that horse didn't come down. And I would have benefited quite a bit from that. This one, you know, it didn't really help me. I had $500 in the race. I think I'd get back 260 because I had 100 to show on Tacitus. So, you know, it gets back some of my losses. But I'd rather have lost and they left it alone. It's, you know, yes, by the letter of the law, you could take him down, but you also have to use common sense. And there was no common sense in this. I'm just baffled by it. I really am. And the longer it went on, because I'm sitting there thinking, there's no way they're taking this horse down in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, but if they're going to leave it up, the decision would have come back quicker.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing.
That's one thing I've learned from you.
Well, yeah, the sooner the better if you're wanting to keep it where it is. But when it goes on that long, then they're trying to figure out, okay, where are we going to place him? And, you know, it's so funny listening to some of the opinions about this, because the guy who trains the horse that got put up first was like, oh, well, if this were a $16,000 claimer, of course they take him down. And I'm like, Bill Mott has not run a horse in a $16,000 claimer in 20 years. All his horses are $100,000 and up. So how would he know? And that horse, basically, for him to win, that's what had to happen, was he had to get really lucky, because he was nowhere near as good. Because he got next to Maximum Security at the top of the stretch, and he just pulled away from him. Just said, see ya. So that's the other thing, too. I hate when an undeserving winner gets put up.
Yeah.
And that horse didn't deserve to win the race. And it screws with... Now...
I'll tell you what it does, is it makes that horse suddenly a very pricey stud horse probably ain't even that good of a horse.
No, he's really not. I think he was probably fourth best in the race. And like I said, there were a couple horses that had legitimate trouble that finished behind him. But hey, good for him. Now the question is, they're thinking they may not even send him to the Preakness because, I mean, how would you even count that as a Triple Crown if you didn't finish first? So I don't know. I'm actually hoping he goes in the Preakness because I'm planning on betting against him with both hands. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it was frustrating for me to watch, and it was really. Yeah, somebody said if you were at the Kentucky Derby, would you start a refs you suck chant going? Yeah, so as a fan of the sport, it's very, very frustrating. And this has been a bad year for human decisions. I mean, you look back at the Saints game and now this, and what was the other one we had? The non-foul in the Auburn game, or the foul in the Auburn game that everybody complained about. Might have been, in most cases, they probably made the right call in terms of the law, but it was just dumb.
Yeah.
So Adam says Maximum Security owner says they're appealing the decision with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, and they're not going to race their horse on the Preakness.
They also tried to talk to him on race day. They were like, we'll wait until midnight if we have to. And they were like, no, we're not meeting with you.
No, sorry. That's the other thing too, man. There ought to be transparency here. And they just came out and read their.
I mean, there should be mandatory transparency with a race, like a commission that's assigned to make sure that there's integrity involved with the gambling aspect of it. Like, it should be unquestioned.
But the problem is, it's like the rules in Kentucky are different than the rules in Texas and the rules in California and the rules in New York. And there is no oversight. And so basically these three people get to make that decision, and you know, there's no appeals process. Now what they can do is sue them and try to sue for the purse money. But where does that leave the horse player? Where does that leave all the $9 million that was bet on him to win that those people got screwed out of? And that's the thing that pisses me off the most is, you know what, if you were smart enough to get that horse and make a good bet, you had the best horse, he wins the race, you get screwed.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Nobody cares about the people, AJ. That's the problem.
You really don't. Guess what else nobody cares about? Preakness.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it would be interesting if they were going to run both horses in it again.
Yeah, but now they're going to run neither.
Yeah, if neither one.
That is going to be you talk about a. Because usually the low viewership doesn't show up until the Belmont Stakes, right? That's the one where it's like, okay, well, if there's two different horses, one, nobody watches that one. I mean, the Preakness almost always gets.
They never get
Kentucky Derby viewership.
Right.
But they get a good chunk of that.
Because everybody wants to see what the winner does.
Now, you talk about a meaningless race. Like, I mean, that's rarely a meaningless race. It's going to be a meaningless race.
Absolutely. Although there's a horse I like in there that didn't get in the Derby that I'm already excited that he's going to run in the Preakness. So, yes, yeah, 2 weeks out, I'm going to be all over Bourbon War. Just telling you right now.
Okay.
Somebody mentioned the San Jose 5-minute power play penalty against the Golden Knights. Yeah, that was another one that you're just, you know, tell you. Makes me feel a little limp right now. So I guess I better go to 4hymns.com. And guys, over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40. So it's not just olds like me. And there's all kinds of stuff out there you can take, but why would you do that when you can go to 4hymns.com? It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, all for men. They connect you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. So you don't have to go to the gas station to get any of that stuff. There's no waiting room. There's no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours. Just go to 4hymns.com. You answer a few quick questions. You chat with a doctor, and products are shipped directly to your door. And guess what? Because they want you to try it out, you can try Hims for a month for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details and safety information. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hymns.com/Fred5. That's FORHIMS.com/Fred5. 4hymns.com/Fred5.
Now somebody's gonna pay, and if you can't get what you want, well, it's all because of me. have everyone's attention.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Weren't you supposed to do the Game of Thrones intro there?
No, we're doing the, because I got this, we got this thing on Friday. That we're now, we, our Game of Thrones talk is now sponsored. Fred.
Well, I figured we would wait and announce when we're going to do it because we can. Well,
no,
I think
we're
we can
doing
move
it now.
That. Okay,
yeah, we're doing it now.
I mean, do you want me to hit the Game of Thrones intro?
Yeah, you can.
Shall we begin?
You're now entering the Game of Thrones spoiler zone on The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Our Game of Thrones talk now sponsored, Fred. That's how great our segments have become.
Really?
Yeah, Ratchet Hatchet.
Nice.
On like off of Wall here in Houston. I went down on Saturday and actually threw some axes. It's an axe throwing place.
That sounds cool.
Like
as
you
hell.
Go, it's BYOB.
Yeah.
And you throw axes at boards. Like, and I'm actually pretty good at it. I'm actually pretty good.
See what you did there? Oh, I'm going to go check that out. That sounds like something fun.
So go check them out. Tell them you heard about them on The Blitz. Episode 4. We are now 2/3 of the way through the season. And you know, I always go first. I'll let you go first. I'll just start out by saying I'm so disappointed. I know that you probably like it more than me because you typically do, but go ahead and tell me your thoughts on this episode.
Well, I'll start with the negatives. I thought the pacing has really been odd the last 2 years in that they spend so much time on some meaningless stuff and then rush through the important stuff. And some of it, I think, is just lazy writing. I think the whole second dragon going down scene was... I thought it was pretty bad. So suddenly they have these weapons they can't miss with, and Dany can't see them from her dragon. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, just a little tactical thing, and this is why I think if I had to bet right now, Cersei's going to win because these people are idiots. Because, okay, she's on her dragon. She's going right at Euron, and they start shooting at her. Here's a little trick. You can fly. How about you go around and hit them from behind where they can't shoot you?
I mean,
burn the whole fleet down, right?
That would be a move.
Not just saying, if I'm no dragon master, but if I were, that would have been my plan.
Okay, I'm not a dragon master either. This is my rudimentary understanding of dragons. You have a better understanding of it than I do. What I'd been led to believe this whole time was, what's so great about these dragons is their skin is basically impenetrable by human weapons. And the only way the first dragon died... It was basically a one in a million shot because the Night King had a magic stick he threw into the dragon's eyeball where there's no scales protecting it. Now we've got this human weapon that basically rips a dragon in half. I mean, what? I thought arrows were supposed to just bounce off this thing, and now, oh, it's a bigger arrow, which... By the way, what kind of material are you using to make a crossbow that can do that? What you got to show me the technology, because in that, I know in that era they did have Starbucks, but they couldn't have possibly had the technology to do something like that. This show has gotten so lazy over the last 2 years. To me, it's and I'm a sucker because I'm going to watch the last two episodes because I've committed eight seasons to it.
You can't eject now. But
if you somehow think that this show is the greatest show that's ever been made, you're joking. You're kidding yourself. Because there's too many mistakes. There's too many holes.
And you could say, oh, well, you can suspend disbelief enough to believe in dragons and magic and resurrections, but you can't put it aside that maybe there's a Starbucks cup on the table.
I mean, now it's like, it's getting really bad. You can throw off a lot of stuff on, oh, that's fantasy, and you can explain it with magic and voodoo. That was just, that's bad. How do you not find that in any...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that... Well... You pay people just to look for stuff like that. So that's disappointing because... And I always say this, you... With a fantasy or any kind of fiction, you have to create a reality. But then you have to follow the rules of that reality. And I do feel like some of the stuff... Like, okay, where'd these weapons come from? I would have liked them to spend more time on that than yet another Tyrion Jaime talk.
Yeah. There's a lot of staring at each other.
Yeah. And, let's say goodbye to everybody one more time. And it just feels forced. Now, having said all that, I thought it was an okay episode. Some people who go, oh, this is the best one I've ever seen. No, let's be honest about it.
No, it's just the best one this season because the season's been garbage.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get the big fight next week. And then the last one will just be putting all the pieces back together. They're obviously setting it up. I think they're going to assassinate Dany at some point, even if she wins. But... This is the other thing. It's like they're so stupid. Would you be surprised if half of Cersei's army isn't marching on Winterfell right now?
I mean, no.
Because they're always a step ahead, right?
Yeah.
And they always know what the other guys are doing. And it's just... I just feel like at some point, how are you gonna make a good queen if you're a terrible strategist?
Well, that's a good question.
Just curious. But
the other thing, what happened to, like, why are we all of a sudden now not able to show graphic violence in this show? Remember there used to be like spilled guts and things like that, and now they like have to cut away from Missandei being beheaded?
Yeah, you know what? You know who brought that up this morning? It was Courtney, who's sitting in there. I would like to get her take on this. Go to the microphone, because she brought that up. The fact that it's not violent anymore.
Yeah.
I know. You can't, like, do that to us. You can't give us such hardcore seasons, like, what, 1 through 4?
Yeah.
And then the last season, it's like a soap opera.
Well, they did that with boobs, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't even see Brienne's.
Yeah, we got... first 4 seasons, it's like, oh, this is a boob show. Awesome.
Exactly.
It's boobs and violence. It's like Banshee. It's just what I want. And then after about season 4 or 5, it's like, oh, yeah, no more boobs. We're not showing any more violence. Yeah, they showed Arya side boob, and they didn't... I mean, I'm not too upset that they didn't show Brienne topless, but they didn't show her topless. I mean, they've now just gone away from all that.
Yeah.
They're making the PG-13.
No, like PG.
Well, they did show a dragon getting ripped apart.
Barely.
Yeah, that was pretty graphic. Pretty graphic dragon violence.
Yeah, but it's not real. It's a dragon. Who cares? Poor Ghost. How do you just leave poor Ghost?
Dude, yeah.
How do you leave your dog?
Hey, this dog's been with me since I was a kid, but can you take him with you and then not even like pet him on the head and say, good boy, thanks for the memories? Dude, what are you, some kind of animal?
Yeah, is anybody going to miss Missandei?
No, I don't care about her.
I mean, she's not even second tier character.
Grey Worm's going to miss her.
Grey Worm sucks. He should be dead, too.
Yeah, Grey Worm.
I don't care about him.
Grey Worm is second tier also.
And that's the other thing. Let's put something else out there. They show up with like 20 people at Cersei's house. Cersei's got all these giant crossbows. You see the dragon, like, I don't know what the dragon's doing in the background. It's like frolicking around.
Yeah, frolicking.
And, I mean, there's literally a handful of them, and it's everyone of importance. Was Jon there?
No, he's marching his army south.
So it's Tyrion and what's the bald guy's name?
Varys
and Daenerys and like a bunch of guards and Grey Worm. Cersei could have killed them all right there.
Yeah.
Just shoot that giant crossbow that's like breaking up ships. You shoot one of those into the middle of that crowd. Boom. The war's over. Shoot one of them over there at that dragon that's playing grab ass. And boom.
That, yeah, he's just chasing his tail in circles like a dog.
Because so, apparently it's so easy to kill dragons now. Just shoot it. No big deal. No, she's just... Oh, watch this. Cut off her head, Mountain, Zombie Mountain. Cut her head off. And then I'm just going to look at them like, ha. See my power.
And smirk.
Yeah, you could have killed them all. I mean, that's... It's horrible.
Because they all have, like, emotions now.
No, Cersei has no emotion. And that's the other thing. Everyone's like, how can... or why does... A, it's weird that Brienne cares about Jaime leaving. But that's what... That's how women act when they... when they catch the good stuff. They'll go outside in the middle of winter in just a robe and be like, why are you leaving? Because Jaime knows how to slang it. I'll tell you that much. And... But when he said... He's not going to go be with Cersei. He's going to kill Cersei. That's what he's doing. That's when he said, she's hateful, but I'm hateful. He's going to kill her.
I think that Arya's going to beat him to it.
I don't know. I think Arya and the Hound are about to start sleeping together.
Yeah,
my wife said that was ridiculous, but I believe it.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, stop. Women don't know anything. That's why you guys go out in your house coats trying to stop guys with one hand from climbing on their horse and leaving in the middle of the night.
When it's good, that's you right. Gotta chase it.
I know it. I know it.
So what you're gonna give it a thumbs down, Courtney.
Oh, like as many thumbs down as possible. We
only have two.
Yeah.
But
unless you're Tyrion.
I just don't understand what happened to this show, and I get that. You know, George R. R. Martin played a big part in it, but I was under the impression that they were going to be talking to him about this and like.
I know he's involved, but I've been reading some interviews with him where I don't think he's crazy about it either.
Dude, there's no way he can be now. He's got to remove himself from. He's got to be like, oh, I don't know what these dummies are doing.
Well, I do think that I know that he mentioned one character that he thought they were overplaying, which I think is Bronn. And
yeah, why is that guy a thing now?
Yeah, and he's still pissed off that they didn't have Lady Stoneheart in there.
Because we can agree there's no logical way that Bronn factors into anything important at the end.
Right.
So why bring him back?
It used to be because he was entertaining, but even that scene wasn't entertaining.
It wasn't entertaining. It was a stupid scene. It wasted time.
Yeah.
There's too many scenes that wasted time where guys are just looking at each other and... I don't know. And like the John and Danny scene. And by the way, Sansa, hold a secret for freaking 10 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like,
by the way, there might be somebody else. Well, thanks for, you were sworn to secrecy.
Oh, hey, Tyrion, I forgot this really big secret I wasn't supposed to tell you that I'm going to tell you right now.
Make sure you tell Varys.
God, these hoes ain't loyal.
See, and I was.
The only loyal hoe is Brienne. And let's face it, nobody's trying to go back for seconds on that. Like, that's the one that's loyal. It's like, oh, God,
yeah, she broke.
Doesn't she know what a one night stand is? Doesn't she know what, you know, what happens after you drink like 15 horns worth of ale? That tends to happen. You hook up with the girl that is bigger than you.
Poor Tormund had his little heart broken there.
Oh, she's so big, too. I mean, that is a giant woman. That's the one thing I'm out on. If a girl's taller than me, no.
Yeah,
if I feel like she can beat me up, I'm out. I'm out. And she's got one hand now, or he's got one hand now. She could probably take him in a sword fight.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm
not messing with girls who can dunk a basketball at this point in my life. If that's you, then I don't want it.
Well, I do think that. Yeah, obviously, with two episodes left, they have a chance to salvage it a little bit. But on the whole, I'm going to say been disappointing so far. And I think so much of it has to do with the pacing of it. And there's just so many things that seem to come out of left field now. So I hope the next episode is as spectacular as everybody says it's going to be. Because I think that would help change my opinion of things.
At this point, I mean, think about how great the last two episodes have to be to even make this a good season.
They have to be pretty good. They have to be, like, two of the best episodes ever.
Like, they are Dexter / Sons of Anarchy-ing the hell out of this thing. I mean, they're taking a good thing and just pooping on it.
I don't think it's that bad, but it has been disappointing. I expected more, and...
Especially because you took forever to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we need 9 years to make the next 6 episodes. Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. Just kidding. We left a Starbucks cup on the table. What? What? Thrones.
Mm.
I thought you had it, man. I thought you had it. I thought you had... They took the golden goose and they stepped on its head, on its golden head.
What's kind of bad, I don't care who wins anymore. That was the whole thing, right? Who winds up on the Iron Throne?
This was my... Yeah, I don't care anymore either. I don't care about that stupid chair.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about the other day this morning, I guess. Was there ever a time when you were watching The Wire or The Sopranos that there was like 4 episodes where you were like, what the hell are they doing? Much less a season and a half.
There was a stretch of The Sopranos where I thought that. When they had so much weird stuff going on. Remember the Annette Bening one where she just... there was some weird Sopranos ones. I don't remember that with The
Just
Wire.
Just not in bulk, though. There wasn't, like, massive...
Usually they'd come back with a really good episode after they did something stupid.
There wasn't, like, week after week. Because those are shows also that, I mean, it was like... I know now it's easy to binge-watch, and a lot of people have binge-watched Game of Thrones, so it's a little bit different. But The Wire and Sopranos, you had to wait the next week before you could watch it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if I was doing that, and I guess now I kind of am, but... And you give me 4 episodes in a row like that, I'm like, dude, what the hell am I even doing?
Yeah.
Why is this appointment viewing for me right now? And if there was no end date on this Game of Thrones, I might be out on it.
Yeah, I mentioned that this morning. We were talking about it. It's like, I kind of feel like I don't want to invest anymore in it.
It's still entertaining television.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's not...
It still gives me something to do. But, God, we've got to stop with this, oh, this is the best show that's ever been made garbage. Because it's just not. It can't be.
It's certainly the most anticipated because I've never heard anyone or seen anyone talk about a show like this. And I also think, yeah, and you've said this, people want it to be good so badly because of that. And
they're locked in that it's the best.
And I do think that it's better than you do, but it's still not what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So far. So.
All right. We can talk more about this on the other side, but I got to tell you about it.
I want to throw some hatchets,
man. Yeah, ratchet hatchet. Go by there. I went by there. I took my wife and kids, and we went with another couple and their kids. I mean, it's kid-friendly. My son turned 7 last week, and he was out there throwing axes, so it can be done. And the great thing, I don't know if you should mix kids and booze while you're throwing axes. But you can if you want. I mean, it's your call. It's allowed there. It's a party over at Ratchet Hatchet. Go down there, check it out. Company happy hour. How great would that be? Like a company bonding retreat. Go throw axes. Put your boss's face on the middle of the bullseye or your promo director, whoever pisses you off, and throw axes at it. How great would that be? Guys, if you a birthday party, you just want to go hang out, have a day with the fam, or you and the boys want to go blow off some steam. It's way better than what Bob Kraft did, apparently. Located off Waugh in the center of Houston, it's easy to get to. Give them a call, 713-446-8186. Book a party or find out more info at RatchetHatchetAxeThrowing.com. Go check it out, guys. That's Ratchet Hatchet.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN.
A lot of people reacting to the Game of Thrones stuff. We'll go through some of it. And let's see. Let's start with... Tongue Dark Chris, I really think it's setting up Gendry to sit on the throne. Which, by the way, if that's their plan, that's the worst plan.
Yeah.
That is the worst plan. No one wants that. No, like, I feel like that guy's been in this show for 2 years or something. You can't just throw him in there late, willy-nilly, make him a bit. He's like a mid-tier character at best. And then at the end of it, be like, oh, yeah, he's on the throne now. That'd be like Grey Worm getting the throne at the end. It's like, that guy's, he's just a guy. Like, no, and, or that guy with the one eye who got killed. Like, was anybody upset when that guy died? Was anybody like, oh my God.
They killed Beric.
They got him. No, no one cared because he's a mid-tier guy. Like, I don't know why people even cared about Missandei dying. Maybe because she died, she was the only one who died. So that made it a big deal, but she's a mid-tier guy.
She's not even that. Plus, she's just not that interesting of a
character. She's like Daenerys' makeup artist. Like, I don't even know what her job is. Like, what does she do? She gets her dress. She lays out her clothes for her. She puts those braids in. I don't know. What does she do?
Yeah, she dies.
Let's see. Lamont says, I'm not sure about crowning Cersei smart, especially after having the chance to wipe out Dany and her 17 dudes. That's what, yeah, I don't know either. Nathan says he feels like Missandei had the chance to take out Cersei when they were on that wall. When Cersei walked up to her about her final words, Missandei should have grabbed her and taken her off the wall and killed her. That's actually a good idea too, but
yeah, but nobody thinks
she's not, again, she's a mid-level character. How the hell is she going to kill the main bad guy? Can't do it.
Nope.
That would have been worse writing. Lamont, how do the dragons still not have armor? I didn't think the dragons needed armor. I thought being a dragon was armor. Wasn't that, I mean, you read the books. Isn't that the case?
Well, yeah, although it never got to where the dragons were attacked, really, in the books.
But isn't that the whole thing about why dragons are so incredible? Because you can't hurt them? Like, human weapons can't hurt them?
Well, apparently they can.
Yeah, now they're changing up the whole how dragons die? What? You can't do that.
You could put armor on the dragon, though.
You could.
Or dragon.
Because,
it's no longer dragons.
But hell, if dragon skin doesn't protect it, what kind of armor can it wear?
Well, sure, there's something they can come up with.
Jaime knows he can seriously disrupt Cersei's plans by telling Euron that the child may actually be Jaime's. Euron would piss off with the Iron Fleet at that point, then Jaime will run a sword right through Cersei's stomach. I mean, that's possible. I don't think Jaime cares about Euron. I think he's going to kill them both. Why wouldn't the dragon have a greater point of view of the boats, not just fly behind the said target and set it on fire? That's what Fred was saying. But even more, how are you flying a dragon in the sky? You can't see the boats, but they can see you and get a clear shot at you. Think about the math behind that.
Let's see, four times.
It's impossible, right?
Yeah.
And those ships have like giant masts coming out from the middle. Like, you would have had to have seen that. You can't get snuck in that situation. And then Dany's just like looking, like her second dragon just fell in the ocean, ripped to shreds, and she looks like she's mad about it. She looked sadder when that girl got her head cut off.
Well, then afterwards, she's like, I watch my child fall into the sea. And like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you looked real pissed off and you didn't do anything about it. How about blow up those ships? How about Dracarys? Whatever you'd say. I mean, make them, just light them on fire.
That would be too easy, AJ. We have to set up this next episode. Like I said, I thought it was an okay episode, but there are some things that I found disappointing, and I hope that it gets better over the next couple. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Our buddy Laura Alexis from Innovative Lasers of Houston. And is she there?
Yes.
Hey, Laura, how are you?
Yes, I am. Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. So let's tell the people what you guys got going on over there at Innovative Lasers of Houston.
Well, the latest technology. One of the key ingredients that we use is the use of the Girona laser. And it's fascinating because the laser, we guarantee 3 to 11 inch loss in just 2 weeks. So the laser offers absolutely no downtime, no swelling, no bruising, no pain. You don't feel any heat. You don't feel any cold. Basically, you get underneath the laser and it makes you skinny. It's just that easy. And Fred, how much did you lose?
I lost over 30 pounds and 9 inches with it. So.
Yeah. I mean, did you feel any pain?
No, and I always tell people, if you go in, you lie down, they shine a red light on you, that's it. And there's no recovery time or anything. You just bounce up, and a lot of times I'd go to the gym after I went in there. That's how easy it was.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds too good to be true, but, I mean, I'm so glad that you're doing the treatment, right? Because, you know, you can actually just tell the listeners that, I mean, it really does work.
Yeah, it does. And you got a great special going on for them right now.
We do. For listeners right now, typically the transformation package is $2,400. However, if you call in now, it's over half off for $1,000. And if you are one of the first 100 winners, you will throw in an additional 3 sessions for free. And the number to call is 281-888-3094. It's a free consultation, no obligation. Give them a call. The operators are standing by. We schedule that free consultation, and we'll put you in a plan specifically right for you.
And mention ESPN 97.5, and once again, that number 281-888-3094. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We're inviting you to take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by Twin Peaks, benefiting ProVision. This year's tournament will take place on Wednesday, June 15th at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 5th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages, lunch from Texadelphia, dinner, a custom ESPN 97.5 Gust Buster umbrella, the number one umbrella for all professional golf tours, and you get 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com. You're not going to be here, are you?
I won't be here. I'll be drunk on the river, my friend.
Yeah, I'll be drunk on the golf course then.
Yeah, you guys have fun without me.
Couple things that Oscar mentioned, the speed of the episode. We talked about that at the beginning. I think we all kind of felt that way. And this is the other thing that, and Lamont said, are you, but I think he means Danny. Sansa saying, let him rest. That dragon would still be alive. Missandei would still be alive. Why does she have to be in such a rush?
Yeah, she sucks.
She's just a dumb.
Well, now she's
Danny,
all...
Danny is a dumb.
She's all worked up because now she knows John should be the king and not her.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, I got to do something really fast. Yeah, it's just dumb.
So, I'm going to squeeze in a couple calls.
That's why she'll be a whole... Even if she does sit on the Iron Throne at the end, she's... the crappy spinoff that they'll write about Game of Thrones will be about Danny being the queen, and it'll suck, too, because she won't know what she's doing.
Yeah. Oh, well. 2 more episodes. About try Troy.
Troy, sports media. Hey, Troy. Going, hey, we're doing sports and dragons.
Okay, I do. Yeah. I'm not gonna try to be too nerdy. I did read the books, but I think the problem with this show is that they've got writers to write intrigue, so they've been writing intrigue for like 7 years, and now they don't need intrigue writers. Instead of changing writers, they kept them the same ones, and they don't know what they're doing. They should have went and got the Lord of the Rings writers instead of these guys who write Falcon Crest to write the episodes. And that's all I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know when Lord of the Rings... Like, when was Lord of the Rings... I mean, what year was that?
For the movies?
Yeah.
It's the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Or maybe early 2000s.
Early 2000s, okay. I believe, is when they started.
Now you're like... I mean, you're talking about these guys. That's your 15, 20 years later. Those guys might suck at writing now, too. They might be washed up.
It is one of the more underrated things about any show is having good writers, and that's why we always talked about Justified and how great the writing was. But even when Elmore Leonard died, it started going downhill a little bit at the end. So that is important. Let's try. Is it Darren or Dame? Is it Darren?
Looks like Darren.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, sports.
Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but so one thing I noticed on the show last night, when John first started having relations with Khaleesi, you know, he didn't want her to know about the time he died and, you know, was resurrected. So I guess it falls back on what you're talking about with the lazy writing, because last night when Tormund was drunk and he was just, you know, giving John all these props, she was listening in and she heard about his resurrection. But I don't, what's the deal with that? She doesn't care about that anymore, or is it not a big deal? And the thing with the dragon skin, I think you're 100% right on that. When it comes to like lore and weird creatures and stuff like that, some stuff you just can't change. It's kind of like when Twilight tried to make it seem like vampires don't explode in the sun, they just start sparkling.
Yeah.
Same thing with dragons. Dragons are supposed to have like impenetrable skin. But that's just my thoughts on it. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Your thoughts are exactly right.
Did we get a Twilight reference in there?
Yeah. He's right, though.
Yeah, well,
he's right. That was stupid.
But that was another thing that I kind of found odd was, yeah, that was supposed to be a big secret about him coming back from the dead. And there's Tormund just throwing it out there. Yeah. But then there was no...
Everybody, listen, John, everybody who John asked to keep a secret can't keep a secret. All right? John's like, hey, don't tell anybody, Tormund, that I died and came back. I died and came back. Hey, Sansa, don't tell anybody that that I'm supposed to be the king. Oh, hey, Tyrion, before you go, I mean, God. Jon Snow can't trust anybody. Now, to be fair, he went and told Daenerys that he wasn't telling anybody.
Yeah.
And then he ran and tells
Sansa.
5 minutes
later.
Right, yeah, he couldn't keep a secret. And she gave him that voice at the end. She's like, there is a way, and I just told it to you. Everybody who's ever been married knows what that means. That's like a, hey, you want to have sex sometime in the next month? This is the way to do it. Keep your mouth shut. And he was like, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. I don't care. Mm. He, like, come on.
Yeah. But, like I said, they still have time to salvage it. Just give me the two best episodes ever here in the last two.
It won't salvage it. I mean, it can be useful, but it won't be...
Well, we'll see. I want to make it to the end before I make my final judgment. But I do think there doesn't seem to be... We talked about this off air. Like, the big moment where he's telling Sansa and Arya who he is, they don't show.
Yeah.
And to me, that is kind of an important moment. We already know it. And I guess that's what they're doing. Oh, well, we already know it, so now they do. I would have liked to have seen how he told them.
Yeah.
So...
It also appears that the Lord of the Rings, they've had the same three screenwriters throughout all of them, and they do everything together. Because if you go to their IMDb's as writers, if it's one of their name is on a project, all three of their names are on the project.
But to be fair, and somebody brought this up, I don't know if it was a text line or Twitter, those books were finished.
Yeah.
And so you had the source material, and they stuck to it. In this case, you don't have the source material because George R.R. Martin is too busy telling the Giants how to run their organization instead of finishing his damn books. All right. Let me get one more call in here before the top. Let's go to Alan. What's up, Alan? Hello, Alan.
Alan?
Yeah, you're on, man.
Yeah, listen, I think your analogy of the Game of Thrones is pretty good, but it's almost like, what is it, the gangster movie where he says, come on, man, let me introduce you to my little friend with the dragon. And beyond all that, my buddies and me been betting on the Triple Crown for years, and we finally got a horse that wins, and he gets disqualified. We're thinking maybe we betted history. I don't know.
Well... I don't think you got paid for it. Which that's all that really matters.
Yeah, that's all.
If you win a bet and you don't get paid for it, you didn't win the bet.
Nope. And it's a shame.
Yep.
And I address that at the top of the show, and obviously I have some pretty strong opinions about it. So.
All right, I got to tell you guys about my computer career. I've got super strong opinions about them. About Chad. Chad was working two jobs trying to make ends meet. He could barely stay above water. And then in February, Chad started his IT career, making more money. Doing something he loves doing. If you don't love what you do,
change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have experience or training with computers, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do there. You attend classes on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer. MyComputerCareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.